You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
I will live on the winning side. I refuse to be, I don't want to be moody. I don't want to be a drama king. I don't want to be a weirdo where I'm just sitting around depressed in life. I want to live on the winning side. You know, all of us, none of us know. Last week at this time, I told you the man that was in church on Sunday, we had no idea at age 44 he was going to die. But he did. And I told you last Sunday about Wednesday about Matt's home going. We never realized that when we talked to him Sunday, it was his last service. And I want you, and we had an 81-year-old pass away. I had a funeral. Brother Martinez conducted it last week. We don't know. But I don't want to spend whatever days I have left at moody, mad, upset, just like I'm all bothered by everything in this world. And so many, even God's people get so bothered over everything. I wish we get as bothered over sin as we get bothered over issues. Just live right, do right, be a happy camper on the journey of life. And so we saw in your bulletin there for tonight, the announcement sheet, in thy presence is fullness of joy. If you want to have joy, you're going to have to live in the presence of God. Secondly, you see it right there, the people of God. The Bible says, ye are my crown and my rejoicing. He said, I'm happy because I get around God's people. I love God's people. Amen. And yes, I know there are some weirdos and some drainos and some difficult people. You might be sitting next to one, and it might be even your husband or wife. I'm not sure. But the people of God, then the product of God, we saw that. The pressures from God, count it all joy. When God gives it, you go through a trial, God must really love you. He's getting you ready for something. And then the plan of God. God has a will for your life. There's joy in the will of God. God has a desire. God has a plan for your life. All these are the letter P. And then we saw the purpose that produces joy. And when you work together, you serve together. Book of Ezra, we saw that. Well, tonight, we continue on this thought of the victorious Christian joy. And I want you to see with me in chapter 15 of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 15. A certain man which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. That's like saying you have to wear a tie to be saved. That's like saying you have to do something to be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. So sometimes we have a standard or a conviction or a guideline for our workers around here. So you're legalist. That has nothing to do. We don't say you have to dress a certain way or carry a certain Bible to be saved. To serve God in this church, there are certain rules, just like at your business, you have certain rules and measurements and how you do things by the book, whatever it might be. But that has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is a free gift from God. Amen. You can't work for it, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. And so these people were adding this Old Testament rite to salvation and said, oh, you can't be saved if you don't do this. It's all of grace plus nothing. It's not grace plus baptism. The thief on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. It's a free gift. You cannot earn it. You cannot win it. It's a gift from God. So they're adding something. And Paul had to deal with these things. All these churches, Corinth, he had to deal with them. Galatia had to deal with them. Colossae, their gods, he had to deal with them because he began to merge Gnosticism, their gods, with the God. Verse 2, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on the way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. What brought the joy? The conversion of the Gentiles. And it's very obvious what brought joy. Souls. Souls. And tonight, I'd like to speak on you about this subject. Publishing God's good news produces joy. On Saturday, on Sunday, many of us will have the joy to open a Bible and lead someone to Christ. And there's nothing like it. It's just something, it's just so amazing when you get to show someone the condition of their life, because we're all in the same condition. And then to see them, it's like a light goes on. God's given us, all of us, great opportunities, but some of them recently in my own life have been so amazing, because it's like the light goes on. I understand. I get it. I need to be saved. And you know, when you lead someone to Christ, lead me to some soul today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find. You lead someone to Christ, there is joy in giving the gospel. There's something about it. I can't say that every time I go door to door or soul winning. Last Saturday it was raining, and we've had so much rain, and I got ready to get my bundles of invitations and tracts and going door to door. And I had my area, and I really wasn't excited about going. But I tell you what, as it got going house to house, it got real excited along the way. And telling the good news and telling people about salvation. Can I tell you something today? You lead someone to Christ, you're going to have joy in your heart. You know what? I know why most churches are moody? They've never led a soul to Christ. Churches that never see anybody walk in the aisle getting saved. Sunday morning was such a thrill here. And you saw it Sunday morning before, and it's been this way almost every Sunday. But it's before the invitation's coming, people are starting to walk, come down the aisle to get saved. I like that. Amen. There's joy in seeing that happen. Amen. Oh, man, my goodness, let's be a soul-winning church. So the Bible says there was great joy. You're going to use your Bible with me tonight. Let's turn to Luke chapter 15, if you will. Luke chapter 15. And if you'll rustle the pages, that'll let me know that you're doing something about it tonight. In Luke chapter 15, would you read with me one verse? Will you read with me Luke 15? And this is what's going to be happening in heaven this weekend if the Lord tarries and is coming. How about verse 10? Right, ready? Begin. Likewise, I say unto you, see, if there's going to be joy in the presence of angels, joy there or joy wherever these ministering spirits are, there ought to be joy in the house of God. There ought to be joy with the people of God. When you see a little boy or a little girl or a teenager or a mother or a dad or a senior say, that man, Brother Reamers, last week led that 83-year-old man to Christ. I had the joy of baptizing. He's been coming to our couple's Sunday school class. And with his family, all these Portuguese folks were reaching to speak Portuguese. They're from Brazil. And it's just been an amazing thing. And he's been so ready, so ripe to get saved. Hey, Anthony in our class a couple of weeks ago, I walked into Sunday school. They've been coming and coming. His eyes have been opened to the gospel. And I saw your husband and you sitting there with his wife. She rode the bus when she was a kid years ago. And Anthony got it. He says, I want to do this right now. I want to get saved right now. We got saved. I tell you what, that was a happy day in our class. You know, the Bible says there's joy in one soul. So go to Psalm 126 and you know the verse. Psalm 126. I don't hear. I'll make the pages sound. You got it? Page one, Psalm 126. How about if we read Psalm 126, and let's read verse 5 and 6 together. Are you ready? Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. Ready? Begin. And they that sow in tears, you know, Sunday school teacher and pastor as well, and you that preach in our various ministries, and tonight over at the other properties, they're having service. with the Spanish ministry. I don't believe you can teach right and preach right if there's not been some tears with it. I've been so burdened about, we're in a text right there, if Christ be not risen. We're in Colossians 4, 3, verses 1 through 4. We started there last week. That'd be a perfect place on the rest, speaking about our position in Christ. But I've not had a peace about that for weeks now, for Easter. I don't know why. And I don't have a peace about Matthew 28, upon the first day of the week, as the stone was rolled away, and you seek Jesus, he's not here, he's risen. I don't have, but I tell you what, I've been praying about it and begging God for it. And God gave me something. And I can hardly wait for Easter. It's not what you'd say, an Easter-type message, but I hope it has an Easter-type result. I hope we see some great things take place, the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. But you're going to have to sow in tears. Let's look what it says here. Let's read verse 5 and 6 together. Again, ready? Begin. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth. Let's just not show up at parks on Saturday, flippant, careless. Let's spend some time in prayer. You may want to drive back by the park at your Sunday school classes or in adult classes, and just on Thursday or Thursday night or Friday night or early Saturday, just go pray that God may give us a harvest of souls in these parks as hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people are coming to hear the gospel on Saturday. Taking the gospel to people. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And I'd really like to hear some. There you go. You're helping me. That's music. Look what the Bible says. When people get glad and praising God, something's happening on the inside. Chapter 2, verse 46 and 47. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. And they, continuing daily with one accord. The key is there was joy and there was gladness and there was happiness and there's all that took place. Why? And praising God, because people were being added daily to the things of God. People were getting saved. How about the 3,000 that came? There's joy. How about Acts chapter 8? Please turn there quickly. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. You know, I've said it so many times, you know this, but Acts 1:8, God gave the plan to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost part of the earth, but they never left. They stayed in Jerusalem. And because they stayed and didn't get out of Jerusalem, when you, chapter 1, verse 8, God says, okay, chapter 8, verse 1, I'm gonna deal with this. And chapter 8, verse 1, 8, where, and Saul was consenting unto the death. At that time, there was great persecution against the church, which is at Jerusalem. But they weren't all supposed to be there. And they were all scattered. That's what they were supposed to do in the regions of Judea and Samaria. That's exactly what God told them to do. But look what happens in verse number 4. Let's read verse 4 together. Ready? Begin. Therefore. And so they began to preach. Wait, verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. Let's read that together. Particular look at verse number 8. But let's go to verse 5. Ready? Begin. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. And preached Christ unto them. And the people were one
Why
is there great joy? Souls. People getting saved. On Sunday morning, if you were in other departments and services, you weren't in here, but Brother Reamer sang with the trio, and I asked him just to stay. He didn't know I was going to. I said, give us that testimony of that girl that got saved. And he knew what I was talking about. He said there was a little third grade girl many, many years ago in Ohio. Her daddy was an agnostic and a drinker. Mother smoked and was not saved, neither one of them. But that little third grade girl went to vacation Bible school. And she went to camp, the Canton Baptist Temple. And she heard how to be saved. That week, as every week, every pastor was assigned to go visit in the home of the visitors. And one of the pastors came. And that agnostic man promised to come to church, and his wife, the smoker. Not only did they get saved, but they got the whole ball of wax. They got saved, they got baptized, they began to grow in grace. In time, they began to serve in the church, and in time, years later, he became a deacon of the church. I met that man about 40 years ago. I never knew I met him until I go to a church in Connecticut where he was the Christian school principal. You know who that little third grade girl? That's Brother Andrew Reimers, one of our pastors' mother. And she had a granddaughter get saved this week, Kate. You know that preacher, that man who was the agnostic? Andrew Reimers, that's his grandpa. And today they lowered his casket into a grave. He passed away. I'm glad, I'm so grateful for someone from Canton Baptist Temple reached that third grade girl. Who'd ever think that your mother-in-law would live in an unsaved home like that? I mean, she is a Proverbs 31 and your father-in-law, but who'd ever think that that little third grade girl, but someone cared for their soul? And because someone cared for their soul, they went back and talked to that agnostic man. But you know what? God had been working on that man's heart. Do you realize that right now today, that people, God is doing something in the hearts of people that are going to get saved this week? He's already doing something. I was witnessing early this morning to a person, and as I was witnessing them, I found out and discovered that they were saved. Her name was Heather. And I said, well, Heather, are you living for God? She looked at me and said, no, I'm not. But then she said this, but God's been working on me. God's been working on me. And he keeps talking to me. I said, when are you going to do something about it? You realize that God sent me to her early this morning? God sent me. I don't believe that's an accident. I don't believe it's an accident when these people get saved. God's doing something. They're afraid of death, or they're afraid of what the doctor's report going to say, or there's problems in their heart, or whatever, in their home. God's preparing them right now, and Saturday's going to be like ripe picking, and Sunday the same. I said, well, I don't believe that. Then don't believe it. But go ahead and not see anybody saved. Anybody trust Christ? Anybody changed in your life as a result of your witnessing to them? Take your songbook, please, tonight. I want you to turn with me to page number 98. 98. Do you realize that the purpose of North Valley Baptist Church, and I'm glad we're the singing church, and I'm glad we have the Christian schools and the college and the radio and the live streaming, and I'm glad we have publications, and I'm glad we have all these things. But God did not give us these buildings and these ministries for ourselves. I'm glad we have sports teams. I enjoy it. I'm going to the stadium tomorrow night. It's like a small miniature, real small miniature Wrigley Field. It's so awesome. I'm going to have 35 blankets with me. I froze out there last Friday night. But it's going to be cold. This is California, but it's freezing here. Can I tell you something? That's not our main purpose of this church. We could lose a lot of these other things. We could lose the sports, and I'm not wanting to. I thank God that I think there's a lot can happen with sports. It's good for the girls and the guys. the volleyball teams, all the cheerleading teams we have, all that, it's wonderful. But I tell you what, I'm so grateful that I'm part of a church where the teenagers in the rain today went out soul winning.
Yes, amen.
I'm getting so many letters from pastors' conference, and we had Tony Hutchins speak to the teenagers, and we had Brother Dan Carr speak to the teenagers, and Brother Daryl Cox, and Brother Daryl Cox, he might be watching right now, got a letter today, and he said, Brother Treiber, I've never seen teenagers like that. They listen. They responded. It's such a blessing to me. You know, you helped a man of God. But I don't want it to be all about what's the next party. And thank God for parties. I mean, let's cancel a lot of them, but don't cancel my birthday. I like that one right there. But you know, the thing is, this church, they're souls, that's what God's all about. Look what he says in Psalm number 98, John R. Rice. So little time, the harvest will be whole for, do you know it, our reaping done. We reapers taken home, report our to Jesus, Lord of harvest, and hope he'll smile and then how about that? That last stanza, but before we get to how many times I should have strongly pleaded, how often did I fail to strictly warn the Spirit move? Oh, had I pled for Jesus. How about that last stanza? The harvest white with reapers few is wasting. The love of Christ,
the joy of sins forgiven.
Oh, let us weep and love and pray and grow. How about turn to page 100, will you? The preachers are weary, the singers are tired. The churches know it's losing its fire. Some are discouraged and bearing the load, and we must be determined to keep pressing on. Because it's just one more soul were to walk down the aisle. It'd be worth every struggle. It'd be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all if it rescues just one more soul. How about page 102? I was getting in an elevator this week, and I passed a tract to a man. And we started talking. I said, are you saved? And he said, I am saved. I know the Lord. But he said, I said, you're going to church faithfully. He said, I'm not. Here's where his words are. That wasn't an elevator. It was the front desk. And he said, I'm not going to church. My church is dead and dull. Well, he ought to put some fire in it, but I don't want to go to a dead, dull church. I want there to be some rejoicing in heaven and on earth, seeing people get saved. Hearing about people get saved, rejoicing they get saved. Oh, I know there'll be some naysayers. Did they all get saved? I'm glad no one said that when I got saved. But maybe someone did. He's too young. He's too this. He's too that. Look at this song. Dost thou not care? Sing it with me. That millions are dying. Please sing it. Dying in sin and despair, waiting for someone to tell them of Jesus. Yes, waiting everywhere, waiting for someone to help them, waiting for someone. Dost thou not care that millions now perishing deep in their sin, perishing no one to tell them of Jesus who cleanses from sin within? I remember that. Keep your songbook there. We'll sit, maybe get one more and we'll be done. I remember that first Sunday, my wife and I came here on February the 8th, 1976. And I don't know really how many were in the auditorium. I think we maybe, liberal to say this, had 35 or 40. I know that night, with counting the nursery, count my wife and I, we had 22. But I preached that morning, Sunday school. I taught on Acts 12, the praying church. And Sunday morning, I thought I knew something about this, but I don't, longer I preached that, it's John 3:16. And Sunday night, the armor of God in Ephesians. I said, Lord, if you'll let me do this, I'll do this the rest of my life. I love this today. It was a rainy, cold day. That Sunday morning when I preached, there was 30. I don't think 35, but 30, 35 people in that auditorium. It's brown, chocolate brown carpet. We were renting that building. Pink walls. It was dark. It was dungy. It was cold. But those people listened that day. And I was just shocked. Because five adults walked forward that morning. Foster and Pat Hansen were one of those couples. One of those couples, in time, became bus captains here. That's 48 years ago. Can I tell you something? I never got over that Sunday. It's an amazing thing, and I have the numbers. I won't read them, but how many people have walked the aisles of our church and been dealt with one-on-one? When our church was 10 months old, when we were 10 months old, we were averaging about 70. I said, we're going to have a big day before our first anniversary, 10 months old. I said, we're going to have, in May, a big day, and we're going to go for 400 people. And I remember after I said it, I said, why did I choose 400? That's way too much. But you know, that day we had 450. We had 32 people get saved. That was 48 years ago. We had a big day, and it was our last big day on Clyde Avenue like this because it scared me to death. Less than, we had two-thirds of an acre. We had 5,505. We weren't 5 years of age yet. 5,505. There's other men preaching beside me. But when you had it all up that day, one-on-one, dealing with people, one-on-one, in that one little less than an acre, we had 1,268 people saved. What a day. I don't ever want to lose the wonder of that. Where are all these people? Well, some are still around. Many are in heaven. Some have destroyed their lives. Some have gone to other churches all over America, and some are serving on foreign fields. I know all these through the years. I don't know where they all are. But I know our mission of this church. If you want to have joy in this church, we're going to have to keep soul winning the main thing.
Amen.
Turn with me in closing to page number 94. 94, please. You see, if this is going to be a happy place, we're going to have to always be aware of souls. In the heart that's still now ripened, there's a word for all to do. In the voice of God is calling to the heart. Little is much. Oh, little is much. When God is in it, the labor not for outward fame. There's a crown and we can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Second stanza of the place, you're called to labor, sing so small and little known. It is great if God is in it and you'll know. Sing it.
Let us watch.
In 1968, a book came out, The 10 Largest Churches in America. I have devoured that book and devoured that book and devoured that book. I've worn it out. I've had to buy different ones that are out of print, secondhand. The one I have in my office now, I still pull them out. It has a rubber band around it. It's all broken down, the binding. I've always studied those 10 largest churches. I've been at most of them. And I've preached either at the church or with the pastors of many of those churches. They're all home with the Lord. Every one of them believed in the bus ministry. Every one of them believed in soul winning. Everyone believed in reaching them. You know, most of them are gone now, but they stopped soul winning. This is a 3,000 seat auditorium. You want to empty it? Let's stop soul winning. Let's stop reaching the lost. God's eyes, 2 Chronicles 16:9, they're running to and fro. He's looking where he can bless the people that are living righous before him. I go to that verse all the time, many times a week. And I say, Lord, would your eyes stop in Santa Clara, California? What you see, I hope and pray, God, you'll see some good things here. Because I believe God's blessing rest on this place. Amen. Child of God, the last thing Jesus said, he had now raised up from the dead, Matthew 28. And the last two verses of the book of Matthew, after he had been risen, had been seen, he said, now go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go to everyone. Go tell everyone. And then before his ascension, he gathered them together and said, I want you to know this, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Don't get all wound up who we get for president in November. What if all 380,000 churches in America would just go winning souls? Just start to go win souls. And what if all 380,000, I know that's Catholics and Mormons and all, but whatever amount are actually preaching the gospel. What if every church that preaches the gospel would get a bus and put people on that bus and bring them to church? Amen. Imagine what a thrill in heaven when God and the angels see another 50 buses in America, another 100 buses, another 1,000 buses, another 10,000 buses running on Sunday. And people saved, and people getting right with God, and a third great little girl who's living in an agnostic home, whose daddy got saved and was laid to rest today. Wouldn't it be something if we see lives changed? God changed your life. God changed my life. God changed Brother Shilton. God changed Brother Peter. God changed Brother Raymond. Where'd he go? Right there you are, rock and roller. Drug addict, you name it. But look what God did from 2 years ago, November. Look what God did with Chiago and his wife on Easter Sunday when Miss Treeper got to lead him to Christ. I think it's going to be the 7th year now. Look what God did to that young man that watched family members get shot to death and murdered before his very eyes. Look what God did. And how God raised up that couple to come. And in hopelessness and helplessness, she was across the street on Easter, Friday before Easter, and said, if there's God, I'm missing something. Show me. What? Show me some help. And she turned around and saw that 94-foot steeple. And said, I'm going there Sunday. They sat over here and got saved over here. They're like family to us and to you as well. I mean, go on and on and on. I want you to know, I just see Brother Chris Kissel back there. 40 years ago, It was a 12-year-old boy that came. Single home, got saved, got married to Evangelist Wally Davis's daughter. He's with the Lord. He's my roommate. Four kids. In just a few days, one of those boys getting married. Both boys going to graduate from college. A daughter-in-law going to graduate from college in May. Hey, I want to say, that's all of God. Brother Skirty, you and Marge have been around all these years watching this happen. Brother Van Dyke, you and your wife, so many of you have been watching this. The Jacobs, they came on a big day, 1978. And five rows right back there, they came the same day. And look what God's done. Let's stand together. You want to have joy in the church? Lead me to some soul today. Father, I'm speaking to myself. I'm such a sorry soul winner. I'm not arrived. I need to be more zealous all the time. And I pray that, God, I'd be compassionate and passionate about winning people, reaching people. Help us. I believe the invitation this morning is for you to pray this evening, is to pray about the Saturday and Sunday, that God would do something. If you're preaching in one of these parks, God's got to get all over you. Just got to get on you. You got to see a vision of what, if you're leading music or if you're running some activity, you need the help of God.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.